But if you look down at self-employed, well, because you generate income based on trading time for money. If you look at the next slide, which is self-employed, you actually have created your own job. You work for you. You are the system. And you value control and independence more than money. Self-employed people are willing to take risks because they want to be independent and they want to be able to control what they're doing with their life more than they care about money. So they'll make tremendous sacrifices, take risks, whatever, and they'll lose it and they'll get it, and they'll lose it and they'll get it. But you're still generating income based on your own work, and you're trading results for money. Now, because you value control and independence more than money, that's going to be a basic motivator in your decision-making process. And the trap for self-employed people is their ego, that desire to be a business owner and to be looked at as someone who has their own business. And a lot of times they're not really good team players because the ego gets in the way. So what we want to do is move beyond the self-employed quadrant. The next quadrant is business owner. This is you create, control, or own a system. Usually it starts off as a self-employed thing, but then you make a system out of it where it kind of runs itself after a while. You're not having to be there. You can go on vacation, the business will still run. If you're self-employed, a lot of times you can't go on vacation. And if you're an employee, you only go on vacation when the boss tells you you can. You've created a system. The system works for you. You value freedom and responsibility more than money. So, in other words, your desire to be free is more important than your desire to make money. You generate income based on other people's time and results. So you've got people working for you. They're the one putting in their time, their results, that are generating income for you. The last one is the investor. The investor is you invest in a system. The investment works for you. It's not a trade-off of time for money anymore. It's not a trade-off of results for money anymore. It's a trade-off. You are creating a system, or you're creating an investment or an asset that actually works for you. You value money and you generate income based on other people's time, results, and money. So I hope that's fairly clear. Let's go down to the quadrant. If you look on the left side of the quadrant, employee, self-employed, this is what you call active income, where you work for your money. There's certain mentalities that are based, that are in this left side of the quadrant. It's based on fear of losing. It's based on playing not to lose. The other thing from a tax standpoint is there are very few tax advantages, and the focus is more on accumulating stuff, which is basically liabilities like houses, cars, things that you have to continually pay for, but they're not appreciating in value. But on the right side of the quadrant, there's the business owner, the investor, and the whole name of the game here is creating passive income. In other words, how much money can you make when you're not working? Because your money's working for you. And it's based on a willingness to risk. It's based on playing to win instead of playing not to lose. There are many, many tax advantages. And the focus is on accumulating more assets that create passive income for you. If you look down at the next slide, which is on the top of page 4, income of the wealthy, less than 30% of their income comes from straight working a job. More than 70% comes from their assets working for them, their investments working for them. But if you look at the income of the poor, and this probably applies to the middle class too, more than 80% of their income comes from being an employee, working a job, working for someone else, getting a paycheck. And less than 20% comes from some sort of investment, probably from the stock market, some kind of dividends, investing in CDs, things such as that. So I think you can see from these slides that it is a whole different worldview. It's a whole different way of playing the game. It's a whole different mentality, not only about what you value, whether you value security or freedom, but it's about where your money comes from. So here are the cash flow patterns. If you think in terms of everybody except the homeless or someone who is jobless has some source of income. They have expenses. They may have assets and they may have liabilities. So if you look at the cash flow pattern of the poor, they usually don't have assets and they may or may not have liabilities, because if they're poor, they usually don't have a car payment or a house payment or something. So their income comes straight in from a job, and it goes right down to pay for expenses and outs. And the thinking is, how can I work harder to pay my bills? And I already said, if you're in the employee quadrant, your first thought when you need more money is to take a second job. Here's the cash flow pattern of the middle class at the top of page 5. The thinking is, how can I work harder to afford more stuff? Because the middle class seems to accumulate experiences, education, stuff. Still, the income is coming in from a job. This time, usually it goes, most of their expenses has to do with something like house payments, mortgages, car payments, credit card debt, things like that. So it goes straight through the expense column to the liabilities, which would be, and incidentally, most people think their home is an asset or their car is an asset, but an asset is something that pays you money for keeping it. So if your house isn't paying you money, then it's not an asset, it's a liability. Now, if you have a rental property, yes, it's an asset, it's paying you money. So in the middle class, the cash flow pattern is income comes in through a job, goes out through paying for liabilities, such as a house, mortgage, car payments, credit card debt, et cetera, and expenses. Now let's look down at the cash flow patterns of the wealthy. The thinking there is, how can I acquire more assets that will work for me? It's not how can I work harder. It's how can I acquire more assets. In this case, income goes to buying assets. That arrow that comes straight down, it goes straight to buying assets, which produce income. So there's this little circle over to the left. The wealthy may also have a job that income's coming in, but the basic circle they're trying to build is income comes in, it buys an asset that creates more income, which comes in, which buys an asset that creates more income. As far as their expenses, they still have expenses. They still may have liabilities like their own home and their own car that they have to pay for, but they have this ever-rotating circle of assets that create income. So that's the cash flow pattern we would like to think in, where we have assets that are creating passive income or residual income for us, and that's what pays our expenses. And actually, Robert Kiyosaki says you're only successful if you have more passive income coming in than your expenses. And if you've ever played his Cash Flow 101 game, that's the whole name of the game, is you've got to get to the point in the game where your passive income exceeds your expenses. So that's the ideal. That's the ideal life. Very few of us have it. I have to be honest, I don't have it yet. I have had times in my life where I've had it, and then things have happened, circumstances have come along to change things. But I'm at the place where I almost have it again. So anyway, let's look at typical streams of income at the bottom of page 5. An employee has a job that provides active income. The self-employed has a job that provides active income, but the only difference is the self-employed works for themselves. The business owner has business investments that provide residual or passive income, and an investor has investments that provide residual passive income. So as we were thinking about this business incubator, our idea was, how can we get a whole bunch of people over to the right side of the cash flow quadrant, where they're business owners and investors in the businesses that they're co-creating. And so we get into that cash flow pattern of the wealthy, where the assets are creating passive income that we pay our expenses out of. So here we go, the path to success. Get into the B quadrant as soon as you can, then move from there to the I quadrant. Instead of working hard to pay bills, work hard to acquire assets that will generate income to pay your bills for you. So, how to become a B? Actually, there are very few assets that pay back much more than the original investment, and one of them is education. And so when we thought about creating a homeschool business incubator, we thought about creating it as a mentoring program that would actually educate in business building, because you can lose everything, but if you know how to build a business, you can turn around and start another one tomorrow. And you can get back on your feet. You know, you may have to borrow money from family and friends for a while, but you're going to get back on your feet, because what you know is going to put you back where you need to be. So you can never have too much learning and too much investment in your education or skill. And that's why I don't even want to tell you the figure for the amount of money I've spent going to conferences. That's why I keep encouraging everybody, go to this internet marketing conference, go to this stock market conference, go to this real estate conference, invest in this program. You can never have too much investment in education if it has to do with something that is going to create livelihood for you. So I have spent so much money going to conferences, probably between Tim and me and James, who knows, we could have in the six figures of money that we've spent educating ourselves on how to create successful businesses. The second way of becoming a bee is to find a mentor and an advisor. And Tony Robbins always says, if you want to do something, find somebody else who already knows how to do it and copy what they do. And that's exactly what you've got to do, because there's a system to it. And there's a, it's almost like secrets that you have to find, and people are the secret keepers. You have to find the secret keepers and get the secrets from them in order to do what you need to do. And the third way to become a bee is to develop or buy a system. Now, by system, I don't mean like the educational system or something. I mean a business system. Like McDonald's is a system. McDonald's is not in the business of selling hamburgers. McDonald's is in the business of replicating a system, so that you can go to any McDonald's anywhere in the world. I've been to McDonald's in France. I've been to McDonald's in Ireland. I've been to McDonald's in England. The French fries always taste the same. The hamburgers are the same. The prices may be different, but it's the same. They've replicated a system. They found a successful system, and they just repeat it over and over and over and over. So you think you're buying hamburgers from McDonald's, but what you're doing actually is supporting their system. So when we're thinking in terms of becoming a bee, which is a business owner, we're thinking in terms of developing or buying a system. So the next and last slide is business incubator goals. And one of the goals I have is for us to create business systems. So let's go through them real quickly, and then I'm going to hand it back over to Tim and let him talk a little bit more. Number one, we want to create teams who co-build successful businesses and share in their profits. And right now, I have more business ideas than I have time or people to do them or help me with them. And several of these ideas we have researched thoroughly and know that they're going to be successful. So what we're going to do is start building teams around these ideas of people who are interested in co-building the business with us and sharing in the profit.